Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to be prosperous. Talk about prosperity. This is a show about what prosperity means in our lives and how to live in prosperity. And to do that, we have a best-selling author as a guest on this show who has a new book called The Prosperity Plan. And with us today is Laura B. Fortgang. Laura, welcome.
Thank you, Peter. Hello.
Hi. I'm so glad you could join us to help us climb into this, perhaps a mystery for some people.
Yes, it can be, you know, just one of those question marks sometimes.
Right. And so it's really valuable to look at prosperity in the way this book does. It's a very, very helpful book because it allows us to learn to own and live in the sense of prosperity. And what does that bring us?
Well, it's not just money.
Exactly.
You know, when we wish each other a prosperous new year, you know, yeah, it's money, but it's also, you know, that things go well, that you're in the flow, that you feel happy, that your life seems to be unfolding in ways that it should.
Right. So prosperity is a way to hold life in a way that works. And what I like about your book is that you handhold, in a sense, your readers through their doubts and their questions and help them understand the basic nature of how they can reframe themselves.
Yes, and you know, I mention that doubt because I was a skeptic myself. You know, I always tend to have the experience of like, wow, you know, this works for everyone else. Why isn't it working for me? Even though I, you know, I'm in the self-help field, and always interested in prosperity consciousness, I actually got too focused on scarcity and not on prosperity, and then caught myself and said, wait a minute, one of some of the most prosperous times in my life were when I didn't even have goals per se. You know, it wasn't a strict plan of any kind. And then I re-looked at that time in my life when the biggest surprises and the most financially booming times and said, what was I doing then? And I realized that without having had been a student of prosperity consciousness then, that was exactly what I was living. So it gave me an opportunity to go back and kind of study what I was doing before I even knew I was doing it, and then put that in a form that other people could follow. And well, so I'm not a skeptic anymore.
Well, what's helpful is that you offer stories of people, because everybody has their individual story about their own limitations.
Right.
And why they can't be prosperous. And, you know, so this happened to me, and that happened, this is happening now, this is in my way, that's in my way. And it's too easy to talk ourselves out of it.
It is, and especially in the economy of the last 3 years. You know, I've been really, in fact, I wanted to call this book The Recovery Plan, not The Prosperity Plan.
Uh-huh.
Because I felt this, it really is the mindset that we all need to recover from this hiccup. But of course, the publisher always knows better, and they said, well, you know, we're not going to be in recovery forever. But I do like everyone to hear that really was my original intent, that The Prosperity Plan is to help us look at things differently, because it's so easy to use this economic slip as the excuse for why everything is not working, when it's truly a call to do things differently, but we all are insisting on trying to do them the way we did them before.
And have expectations that the result will be the same as before, and we're living in old pictures.
Yes, and you know, I can see those pictures from across the board economically, you know, from people who are working with their hands to people at the executive level. One of the most surprising things I actually caught on TV, but I know it to be very true from having my ear to the ground, but I was watching this show one day about a family down on their luck because they lived in the, you know, the Detroit area where everyone was employed by the car companies, and the mentality of the spouse was, you know, 36,000 people were laid off around here. It's not even worth trying to go for any job because there'll be 36,000 people lined up. And so, of course, nothing's happening with that kind of life picture going on, as you said, you know, the pictures we keep. And in fact, the subtitle of the book is The 10 Steps to Beating the Odds and Creating Extraordinary Wealth and Happiness. And that part about beating the odds, that's really what we need to be in a prosperous mindset, is to be like, well, you know, that may be what's going on out there, but I'm the one who's going to overcome that.
Sometimes we have to rediscover ourselves differently than we know ourselves, because we might have been living in a world that we were in a knee-jerk reaction to life, and living, for instance, in Detroit, where everybody goes into the auto business, and maybe that's not what we're designed for. Maybe individually we could do a lot of other things in life that might be more suited to us.
Well, I completely agree with you, and I think that that's part of the wisdom of this time, this hiccup in time, is that so many people are being forced to reinvent. And, you know, one of my previous books before The Prosperity Plan is called Now What? And my whole coaching company is in a career transition coaching company, but Prosperity Plan needs the same mentality as the Now What book, in the sense of we are being forced to reinvent, but the reinvention isn't about picking up some random thing and doing something new. It's actually about going back to some of those things that are naturally our gifts or naturally our propensity and our likes, and bringing that into today. And I mean, I've seen it over and over and over now that this is actually a call to get back in touch with what really matters, to get back in touch with the things you really have to offer, and mix that with whatever skills you've gained in the meantime. And that's how I see people getting back to prosperity in these times.
Right, and know that we can't really figure it all out.
No, we have to go with what feels right, even if we think we're crazy. You know, you're all about intuitive healing, and this transition is not about the left brain and what's logical and what your resume says you can do. It's not about logic. It's really about tapping into that intuition and tapping into things that feel right, even if they don't seem right in a logical sense.
Well, you know, you know the story, you know who I am, because you've worked with my wife for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know the story about how we met, and she was an innocent young recent out of college. She'd been working in New York for a few years in the corporate world, and came from a corporate family, and everybody was very traditional. Mm-hmm. And then she chose me. And nobody could understand, what's going on with you? Don't you know that he doesn't fit into the world that we know?
Right.
And she was sure of herself, but she couldn't explain it either, because she didn't know that what she needed was to break the mold.
Right.
And
that's a great example of what I'm talking about.
Right.
Just, you know, in fact, one of the things I've been saying to my clients since 9/11, and I started doing more career transition work, was if everyone around you thinks you're crazy, you're on to something.
I love that. That's beautiful.
It's so true. Because we bring up, you know, when we do something, you know, that's a hard right turn out of our ordinary, it actually scares the people around us. Their status quo gets put into, you know, a shaky place. And they think, well, you know, I would never do that, or I don't have the courage to walk away from a $200,000 job even though I'm miserable. You know, so you make people face their own limitations when you do something out of the ordinary.
Right, so, and it's very hard to do that. And that's, you know, the book helps understand that better, and how to hold oneself in more groundedness to take risk.
Absolutely. And to be measuring your success by different criteria.
Exactly.
You know, again, it's not the criteria of just what seems logical and what's going to make a good resume, but the criteria of how you feel, what feels right. And so it requires a great awareness about yourself.
Right. It's not just jumping off a cliff.
Right.
It's actually finding the right seat in the right plane. And it might be your own plane. But
exactly.
But it's a plane, not a cliff jump.
Yeah, I call it the free fall, where you have a parachute, you know, you did train, you're not taking a complete, you know, uneducated risk, but it may look like to the people around you that you've lost your mind, yes.
Yeah, but you know better because you know what you need for yourself. And that's what I like about the book is that the prosperity plan is about finding inner prosperity so that you're actually working from prosperity to create prosperity. So when people think that you're giving up everything, they're not living in that prosperity consciousness.
No, they start living in lack and
right.
fear and worry. And I know this is a time where, you know, people have worn out their pillows and their mattresses, tossing and turning at night with worry. But if you think of the energy of worry, it's such a constricting energy. It's such a distraction. It causes your body all kinds of short-circuiting, you know. And there's a quote that I don't know who to attribute to, but it says that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it really doesn't get you anywhere.
Uh-huh.
And it's so true. And if people think, everyone who's listening, you know, think about how much time you might spend worrying and turn that worry into a faith and a mantra, so to speak, of like, this is going to work out, even though I cannot see how or I cannot see where it's going to come from. That is the mindset that's needed to get to new circumstances.
Right, and people who can hold inner strength at the same time that they're taking risk are the people who can do that. And again, we come back to your book because we need a handle. We need something to process, to make it okay, to be true to that inner drive. And to help us, you know, to give it form. You have the opportunity in the book to create form for people to understand themselves in the process of change, in the process of striking out into a new reality that they haven't been in before. But they're strong in themselves from it. They're grounded because you create the ways to manage energy. You have a chapter called Prosperity's Fuel. How do you fuel that?
Mm-hmm.
You talk about security. What is real security? Is it outward security or is it inward security?
Well, there's a whole chapter on your definition of security in the Prosperity Plan. And I interviewed several millionaires for the book so that I could, you know, get a handle on, you know, what is security. So many times people who don't have a lot of money, security comes from money. But I was very interested to learn that the people who had a lot of money felt that if they lost it all tomorrow, they would be okay because their security came from themselves and their knowledge that they'd find a way to start again.
Powerful.
And I found that fascinating.
And
I'm sorry, go
that's
ahead.
That's an entrepreneur's mind.
Yes, because, and also, yeah. It is an entrepreneur's mind. And also, I mean, if you look at so many of the natural disasters and so many of the changes that have been going on lately, you know, we really have to redefine security. And also the rate at which information comes from us. You know, the only filter we have for all the changes and all the things coming at us is us. And we no longer have all those pillars that we built our lives around. If you think of the post-World War II era, you know, government and religion and corporations and all these assumptions of all these places being, you know, the places we can count on. And so many of those places have turned out to have, you know, scandal and things not being on the up and up. And so people are really in this place of needing to find security within themselves. You know, needing to realize that prosperity is of our own making, that there's, you know, you're not relying on any one institution anymore to make these things happen for you.
Well, we can look at our lives also and find ways that we've shown ourselves how we can be secure in just our own ingenuity, in the way we problem solve. And so when we're faced with something, we have survival mechanisms that go to work.
We are highly resilient and creative beings.
Right. And one thing that you might understand, because I'm an entrepreneur. I've been in a number of businesses, and I've fortunately always been successful. But it doesn't mean I don't worry a lot. And,
right.
And you know my wife, and she's not the worrier that I am.
And, you figure one of you has to do it.
Right. But there are times when she's looked at me and she said, you know, whatever happens, all that counts is that we've got each other and we'll make it work.
Right.
And that was so reassuring at times that I've got
right.
a partner.
There's your security.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And together we really do complement each other in many ways. So it's nice to have a team and a lot of people do have that. They have friends and family that are behind them and fortify them.
And they are prosperous, therefore.
Right. And even if nobody does anything about it other than be loving and caring, it's reassuring.
Right. And, you know, so we're talking about that support and getting the definition of prosperity in a different way. And also, I mean, I think what the Prosperity Plan, the book, does is guide you to self-knowledge. And to me, the place where anything can happen is when you know yourself. Because when you know what you want, and the what to do becomes clear as you take the steps. So I really think the greatest wealth comes from self-knowledge.
Right, even though you can only know so much.
Well, we can only know what is happening in that moment, right? So like we say, the truth is relevant. You know, you tell the truth and it's the truth right then, but then even saying it might change that truth.
Exactly. So the inner strength is being able to be strong regardless of the outer manifestations. That you know yourself, you know what you're made of, you know that you can think on your feet and that you can adapt and find yourself in the mix to look at those strengths, look at the past, you know, go back and as you know, your book is full of this. That's, you know, that's why I'm talking, because I really, you know, digested it and enjoyed it so much.
Thank you.
And it really gives us the opportunity to trust more who we are and how to go about being better at being ourselves.
Being better at being ourselves. I like that.
So there are different chapters in here that I liked. When I opened the chapter on integrity, I was figuring, now what is she going to say about integrity that I need to learn? And it wasn't about being honest. It was about creating foundation, the integrity of your environment, for instance.
Yes, and the simple example, like a building cannot stand without a foundation that's strong.
Right, and that's honest, but it's about strong. It's about the foundation, and integrity is there integrity about your life in terms of how it functions? Do you walk
right.
your talk?
Yeah, I think it's about wholeness in this sense.
Yes.
But integrity also, I mean, to get your life whole, it does require telling the truth about the places that are not whole. So that's where the truth comes in.
Right, right. And that's helpful for you to point out the different places we can look for those holes.
Right. We want to be whole of mind and body and spirit, where, you know, in as much as we can control it.
Right.
But certainly making that effort towards wholeness. And I can't remember if I use it in this book or in another one, but I talk about, you know, a lot of us shop. You know, maybe not so much the guys, but maybe the girls. And we shop and we find that thing that we have to have. And then you have to say, well, you know, am I kind of out of integrity here financially because I'm still paying off a credit card? So I teach people, I think it is in this book, The Prosperity Plan, the model I learned from my mentor, Thomas Leonard, almost 20 years ago when I started coaching, was to look at any decision or in the order of how your life needs to be taken care of in terms of integrity, needs, and wants. So integrity is making it whole. Needs is really fulfilling those basic needs, like, yeah, you do need a pair of shoes, but do you need 27 pairs of shoes? And then want is the icing on the cake. And so many people, especially in our society, in American culture, we live a life of wants, and we don't sometimes we miss the actual needs that we need to take care of, and sometimes we miss being in integrity about it.
Well, what I like is the idea that because you understand these factors, you create proper priorities.
Right. It is about priorities.
Because and you can still have debt, for instance.
Yes.
But hold it in the proper priority.
Right. Right. You know, was the debt created out of building something bigger that can then pay you back, or was the debt created out of something that is not sustainable, that's going to disappear?
Right. And also, are you managing it in a responsible way?
Exactly.
So we all have ways of getting our life back in better order that creates that foundation that we can make change from.
Yeah, and I always point back with the money conversation under this prosperity heading too, that, you know, when you demonstrate to the universe or the world or your God or yourself that you can take care of what you already have, that's when it's easier for more to come along.
Sure.
You know, when everything's a mess, you know, financially and relationships and your own environment, and then, you know, I always imagine that there's this spacecraft, this UFO of great things trying to land in your life, but your life is a mess. There's nowhere for it to land.
So if things are in order, you'll find a landing strip.
Exactly. And so, you know, in getting more prosperity in your life, even in the money sense, that when things are in order, it's like you've invited the space for there to be more.
So maybe prosperity is having enough landing strips.
Exactly. There's a whole new idea. We want you to have lots of landing strips. That's
right.
The point.
I love that. And a big magnet there to attract it.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about prosperity's fuel. How do we fuel another? That's a magnet. Okay, let's call that the magnet.
Mm.
That if we want prosperity, what attracts it? What can we do in our lives to create the magnet of attraction to give us what we want?
Well, the book is organized in an acronym for prosperity. So when we hit the second P, prosperity's fuel is gratitude.
Right.
That, I'll quote one of my mentors, Mary Morrissey, who said that gratitude is the vibration that is in harmony with prosperity. So if you think of your body and when you're worrying versus your body and when you're in gratitude, like deep gratitude for what you already have and for the opportunities that are right around the corner that you may not even see yet, that vibration is one that invites opportunity and one that allows for prosperity much more quickly and much more accurately than worry or hysteria or drama.
Right. If we can just turn to what we're grateful about, there's a shift in consciousness. It's an uplift, raises the frequencies, and all of a
exactly.
sudden the magnet is at work.
Exactly. And I quote an example for myself in that chapter where I mean, even when I was an actor with no money, I prided myself on never living beyond my means, and my credit cards were at zero balance and, you know, just neat and tidy with my money. And, you know, now I have three kids, a business, you have responsible debt, you know, to deal with these things. And there was a point where I had to write a personal bill out of a line of credit, and that just was so against my personal religion. You know, I just was so angry that I was in that scenario, and I caught myself and said, where's the gratitude in this? And then the gratitude was, wow, you know, how great that I've worked all these years so that I am afforded a large amount of credit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my rating
Lucky
is so
you.
High.
Lucky you, right. So you can get into even greater debt, but you don't have to look at it that way. You can look
exactly.
at it.
Exactly.
Well, it's like the same thing with having to pay taxes, you know.
Exactly.
You have to be grateful that you have a reason to be paying taxes.
Right. The bigger the check, the more you made. So be
right.
grateful.
Right.
Exactly.
So one thing is, I don't know if Deborah mentioned that I work with the Human Design System, and it has one segment in it. It's a way of understanding the mechanics of our personalities and how they function in the world. And it does tell us what we personally need to do to create abundance in our lives. And there are 64 different ways. Actually, there's 384 different ways if you get into the minutia of it. And mine is stillness. So I just have to shut up and things happen. It's amazing that I notice that if I'm watching a sports game and I'm rooting for my team and they're losing, it doesn't help for me to keep rooting for them. I have to turn the set off, walk away. Then when I come back, the team's in the lead.
You're pretty powerful.
That's amazing. So we all have different, that's just me, we all have different ways that we create prosperity, abundance, and it's nice to know that. But it's natural. It's really, you know, we get a feel for it. So you don't have to know human design to have a sense that, you know, some people it's their ingenuity, another it's their social network. And, you know, we all have different ways that we can turn. And your book covers so much that, you know, it really helps us to identify ourselves in prosperity. So actually, when you get done reading this book, you walk away feeling prosperous.
Yay. Well, feeling prosperous is how you actually make it happen.
Yes, and it's so exciting to hold that. It's a treasure. You know, I don't know what the cost of the book was, but it's worth its price in gold. It actually has a gold look to it because the cover is gold color.
It is,
it.
And my publisher let me pick the gold. It's like he brought me samples and said, you know, which gold should it be?
Well, right, and I like that. I like, because it is, it's a treasure, and it's so useful. And I think our listeners can really benefit, no matter where they are in their lives, to become more golden and allow their lives then to reveal the gold for them. And the book certainly gives people the seeds for that.
And thank you, Peter.
Yeah, well, I mean...
And Amazon is practically giving it away, so that's probably the best place for people to get it.
Oh, good. Good. Well, you've sold a lot of books in your life, and for good reason, because it's obvious that you have the way to talk to people and help people learn what they need to about themselves.
So thank
you. Yeah, I want to thank you for writing this and for the opportunity for me to read it. It was so great. And so it's called The Prosperity Plan, and you are Laura B. Fortgang. How do people reach you?
They can learn what the B stands for and go to laurabermanfortgang.com, and they'll find me there.
Oh, that's great. Fortgang.
Yes, laurabermanfortgang.com, and not Laura Berman, the sex doctor. So there you go.
Or they can just Google Now What Laura or The Prosperity
Plan. Or The Prosperity Plan,
Laura.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And I really want to thank you for being a guest on Energy Stew. It's wonderful to talk with you. We hadn't talked before, even though you know my wife so well.
This is true, and I look forward to your holiday cards every year.
Oh, thank you. And so good luck with this book, and I'm sure it's going to help tons of people.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure, thank you. And this is Peter Roth, the host of Energy Stew at Progressive Radio Network. And I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org. And thank you so much for listening.